better or worse, I mean, as of right now, it doesn't seem to be affecting us. And I think maybe that was the, you know, for the president, maybe that's the message that he picked, one of the messages he picked up from the Obama people was, hey, we can pour money into this system all day, and if, you know, as long as we don't go crazy pumping money into the economy, we can do this for quite a while before somebody calls us to account and before there's some serious implication.
Well, right now, all I got to do is make it 2 years, right?
I think so. Yeah, I think they just have to keep it going until the next election cycle.
Yep. Just
to talk about companies having short-term. Windows for decision making because of their stock price. So in politics, that window, if you're in the House of Representatives, is 2 years. If you're the president, it's four. And then maybe that's the new model we should be thinking about.
But what when you one of the few continual arguments that I have, arguments, discussions, whatever you want to call it, with the learned people that are on the show like you, virtually all come from my two classes I had with George Stigler. And I think if anybody should read anything, they should read stuff by George. I should probably pull out a couple of books that I read in a bunch of the papers and find one or two that are unusually cogent. How's that for a term for this hour of the morning? And
I'm awake.
He would say that politics is a business. It's a spectacular business, but it's a business under its own. And for people in other businesses to say it's not run like a business is categorically ignorant, because it is run like a business.
I agree with that. It's like saying the medical care industry or the health industry is not business like the way it makes its decisions. No, it makes perfect sense. You just have to understand who the customers are, and who, you know, where the supply and demand choke points are.
If we were to get two, I'm going to say, in shape middle aged white guys like us, and went on the tour, and actually told the truth. Maybe we would vote for each other at the end, or maybe we'd vote for AOC because she's better looking.
I think that's why people voted for her anyway.
Well, but the point being is nobody, look at what people do with their current, their current personal investments. I mean, you make a decision based on education. You don't make it based on making 40 or 50 grand a year. You make it based on my education is going to get me some really big job down the road. And and Americans like to look forward to things being better. People get a job, they go out and they buy a car to get to work. Well, duh, of course you have to get a car to get to work. They probably don't spend something dramatically amount, but every car costs you 25, 30 grand now, for God's sake. You know, I think a stone basic pickup is probably 25. So you put it on time and you say, what's the problem? I'm working. The next day the place goes out of business, you're sitting there, oops. But nobody thinks that. And why should you? We're American. Why should you think that your job disappears tomorrow? But this has all changed in the last 20, all these promises. This America that you and I, Lou, is different. I'm not saying it's worse. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's different.
But I would say there is still, at least within my peer group and a lot of people I know who are not in my peer group, I would say that the American ethic is still very much alive, which is that you are in control for the most part. You have control over your destiny. You have control over your well-being, that it's still possible.
Only very broadly.
I think that's generally true. Let me tell you, every immigrant that comes here believes that, and believes that they can get a better shake here than they can in their other countries.
I'm going to say, Lou, that the only business, and this is not a shot, my friend, the only business I know of in my lifetime that has managed to maintain their standard of living, their, in some cases, ridiculous fees, and has managed to grow with the economy, even more than the economy, and has been right on board with the federal, you know, increased regulations all over the place, is the legal profession. I don't take that as a shot. It means I should have been a lawyer, because
I think that's definitely, there's some truth to that. Although if you watched what happened in 2008, you would have seen a significant retraction in the legal industry. But I think that's generally true because of the overregulation and then the explosion of laws and regulatory schemes that, you know, respond to whatever issue, you know, arises. And rather than sitting back and saying, oh, you know, we had something bad happen, take a deep breath and let's push through this. The mentality is very much, you know, somebody's responsible for this, and there ought to be a law, and let's get one passed. But you know, even the legal business has responded to the demands and requirements of clients and insurance companies and things like that. I think you could pick any number of groups. Health insurance industry has exploded.
I think the health insurance industry has imploded, and less people are involved, and the people that are left are making more and more. It's become a cartel.
We spend more and more money on health insurance administration and hands-on delivery of services. We don't do it at the highest levels, but we spend more and more money on administration and delivery of services than we ever have.
Oh, not just what I'm saying. In my industry, It's been obliterated. I mean, it would be like three law firms left in your business you had to go to and pay $2,000 an hour to. But fortunately, there's so many layers of the law. There's still people that need help in divorces and in traffic stuff. And
I sat in a meeting with some guys yesterday that are cranking up a brand new business here, and I think the nature, and we've talked about this, the nature of our economy is definitely changing. The value of what we perceive or what is given to be high-end work is changing dramatically. We are moving from less and less of a personal, you know, physical effort economy to more of a knowledge-based economy. And I will say, frankly, our education system has done a terrible job of keeping up with these changes. Our collegiate education in particular has done a lousy job of preparing, you know, the average person coming through the pipeline for the work they're going to be facing. And I'm speaking of that in the aggregate. I think law schools and our professional schools generally do a pretty good job of preparing people for the work they're supposed to be doing. But I think for a significant number of people in the economy, coming out of high school is absolutely useless for them. A high school degree means virtually nothing in terms of what you can do in your employability in an economy that is rapidly rewarding very specialized knowledge and really, because of big data, is focused more and more and more on individual productivity, and it's a tough environment.
Can you speak up a little bit, or find a spot where you can talk louder on your phone? You're fading on us a little bit.
Oh, sorry about that. Can you hear me now?
It's better.
Yeah, sorry. I think that's a huge factor here. So I do believe, because I deal with a lot of startups, I deal with a lot of businesses coming out of the tech sector, and I've been talking to a lot of you know, immigrants who are coming into this country with professional degrees from other places. folks. Look at this country. You know, they just tell me it's so much easier here. It's so much better here for somebody like me than it was where I'm coming from. But, and you know, I mean, they're not coming from horrific places. But I still think that ethic is there. Now, is there despair? Is there a significant section of the economy or the population? By significant, I mean more than 5%. That has sort of thrown its hands up and said, you know, we don't have that option. I think that's likely true. But I think you're right. I think most people are generally optimistic here and generally look at the future and say, yeah, this is going to get better. It's certainly true under this administration, which has seen an explosion of jobs and
well, they haven't had any more jobs than under the Obama administration.
I mean, the trend, there are a lot more jobs than there were under the Obama administration.
The exact same number.
The trend was up at the end of the Obama administration.
The exact same jobs per month, maybe a couple thousand less than the last 22 months of the Obama administration. The exact same number.
As I said, I think the trend was starting to go up in the Obama administration, but, you know, under this administration, we've seen jobs go up.
We've not seen. Why do you keep saying that? We haven't seen them go up. They were the exact same number.
Unemployment is at historically low levels for minorities and for women and for a number of other groups here. Right?
Do you actually listen to this guy and believe him?
I look at the Department of Labor figures.
Yeah, and we have the exact same number per month that we did under the Obama administration. I'm not saying it's bad. I think it's very good, but let's not.
And that results in increased employment and more jobs being offered.
That trend
under Obama, that trend did not, you know, was just getting ramped up. This it's continued under.
It has continued, and I'm not disparaging. I'm saying just let the number. Why do you suppose, in this world of fake facts, we have fake news, we also have fake facts coming out of certain people's mouths, not yours, the number we need to break even with the demographic is like 180, 200,000 a month. So we've been averaging about 200. I mean, up until the last couple of months have been pretty strong. Up to 22, his first 22 months is the last number I looked at. Which are really, I think they're really good numbers. They were like 198, and Obama's, his last 22 months were like 200, so call it even. Which is really good for both guys. Why do we have to make a decision and say one's way better, one's worse, whether you're on one side or the other?
I'm just saying this under the, and I generally don't give a lot of credit to the president for, the economy going one way or the other dramatically, because I don't think that, I rarely think that there are decisions undertaken, like unless we're going to war, that have that kind of a direct effect. I'm just noting, under this administration, we've seen a significant expansion in jobs, and that's been going on for, it's been going on for a while. This administration's continued it, and, you know, for better or worse, people gave Mr. Obama the credit for that rebound off of the nadir of 2008. I guess they should be willing to give Mr. Trump the same credit.
I would agree, except for one massive criticism for both men. And that, when I say men, you're talking about the government in general. We tend to personalize that into the person in the Oval Office, which is kind
exactly.
of a... But I will say this. My question, Lou, is... at what cost?
And that's right. Under President Obama, there was a lot of cost with regard to what the Fed was doing. And I'm, as I pointed out right out of the gate here, we just passed $22 trillion in national debt. I mean, that is a staggering number.
Well, let me ask you
I thought the tax bill or the budget that the president signed, his first budget, was an abomination, and I'm not thrilled about this next one, and the implications of the tax cut, how that all rolled out. I'm on the school at the side of the road that says you cut consumption, you cut spending, you don't necessarily to cut revenue, at least if you want to get your arms around this issue.
Let me ask you just a, and again, I'm not, this is not all critical. I just look at the numbers the way they are, and sometimes numbers don't lie, Lou. I mean, sometimes I wish they would, but they don't. If I were to put Lou and Jay-Z's a college girl now in economics, aren't you, Jay-Z? You know all, you know, you getting learning all this stuff.
A little.
Suppose I put.
I was under the impression that given the way Jay-Z was working and where she was working, she was actually an expert on economics, at least at the micro level.
Yes, at the at the Trader Bar level, she's definitely an expert with some of the losers in that place. But she manages. She is the queen of series. There is no doubt about that. On Thursday and Friday.
Well, we've got a new queen coming in. One of my sorority sisters is about to get a job there.
Really?
Yep.
Is she smoking hot?
Absolutely.
Is she going to come on over and be an assistant producer?
Doubtful.
Why?
She's a peace, justice, and conflict studies major.
She'd be perfect. She would never run with Lou.
A what major?
Peace, justice, and conflict studies.
See, Lou?
What on earth is that?
Peace, man. Peace, love.
She's kind of a hippie, but she's very smart.
Oh, God. I think she was terrific. Hippie girls.
What school, I'm just curious, what school is offering a peace, justice, and
DePaul.
Conflict? Okay.
Sorry, that was aggressive.
It's okay.
No, that's okay. I'm just curious that, I have an unfortunate vision of what these classes are going to be like. I'm going to withhold judgment and I'm going to shut my mouth, but
see, this is why I can't bring her on.
Why?
Because she's going to get roasted by you guys.
No, we wouldn't. No, we would never. But we roast you. We do it just for laughs. I mean, just
no. Roasting is something we reserve for people who aren't on the show.
Yes.
Once they can defend themselves, we stop roasting them.
Yes. I bet she can, too. All right. My simple economics question, and this is neither left nor right. This being in the middle is very calming, Lou. I don't have to defend myself as much. I do from both sides, but that's another story. $20 trillion economy growing by, pick a number, 2, 3, 4%, maybe less, depending on how you figure your... Now, if I were to say we're borrowing 5% a year, essentially $1 trillion, and adding that to the bowl, for lack of a better term, and we're growing... You know, let's not take President Grumpino. Let's say we're growing 2.5%, and if you use any kind of a inflation number that's real, it's more like 1%, maybe less, maybe zero, maybe below zero. It's an editorial comment. Good or bad, Jay-Z?
Do I have to make a pick?
Yeah, good or bad. We're borrowing 5%, pouring into the top. Especially since some of it we're borrowing from people overseas, and we're pouring into the top, and we're growing at 3%. Is the borrowing worthwhile? I would say no.
Yeah.
Okay. So what does this economy look like if the Fed and the federal government all of a sudden go flat? We go back to 3% interest rates, normal money supply growth, and the federal government goes flat. What do you think this economy looks like?
Bad.
We could be headed into a recession.
I think, at least.
Yeah.
So how good are we doing?
I would say, but Chief.
What?
I came on the show in 2011. We've been saying this since 2011.
Okay.
But
you're the one who set the tone today. You said that you're not happy with the $22 trillion. It's $1 trillion every year. It's 5% we pour in. And we crow about a 3% growth. We're doing that every year. What I'm doing is I'm making your argument for you without you helping me.
Oh, no. I say that I'm basically ignorant, but I see that number, and that number is to me quite disturbing.
Okay, so
that's why.
But it's 5% of the economy, and we're growing by 3. Yeah, we're adding 5% that number every year. I'm going to say it's not worth it. Somehow we're doing it wrong.
Well, that that would be the remark I would be is or give you is the same comment I give you about Illinois. That's not sustainable.
Right. Well, but it clearly is to 22. SP futures down 1.25. Dow futures down 5. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTIsecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTIsecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of HomeSource Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTIsecurities.com. That's PTIsecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, Innovation in Human Resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Well, hope thanks, Stocks and Jocks. I'm out.
She's Jay-Z. Jessica Zalewski on the board. He's Mr. Lou Michaels coming at us from Colorado. S&P futures down 6 now. We're leaking. NASDAQ futures down 11. Around the rest of the world, we've got this China thing is, all the news seems to be that it's coming to somewhat of an agreement. I mean, that's the news that's fit to print right now. DAX up 20.1%, FTSE down 58.8, CAC around up 31 cents, so mixed over there. Call that one flat. In Asia, we've got the Nikkei up 32, call that flat. Shanghai down 9.3%, Hang Seng up 115, that's 0.4. Again, we're kind of in this holding pattern. We have marched these markets way up here, and especially over in Asia, all in anticipation of these deals. And I'm guessing that the deal will come through. We will rally a little bit more, but the anticipation seems to be, one man's opinion, that a positive result is in the market. Oil down a penny, 57.15, but still 57. RBOB gas, 159. Anybody who, I'm guessing Chicago gas is up 20 cents in the last 2 weeks. Brent down a dime. Natural gas up 3 cents. Gold, which has had a huge run up lately, down 940 today, backing off a little bit, 1338. Silver, down 27 cents. So we're backing off on those two finally, from a 10-month peak. It's been a nice run for my people, and I've locked up some puts and actually sold some calls in there, which I never usually do. So I guess it's good timing on my part. Once in a while, you get to do that. Fed's Bullard, rate hikes, balance sheet reduction coming to an end. And he thinks interest rates are already too high. Where do we get these people? Where do we get these people? The total imbalance between savers and borrowers, never seen anything like it. I don't know why this has become normal, but I guess it has. Jay-Z, what do you got for us, Travis? Weather for sports before I go on a rant here.
Thanks, Chief. Good morning, everyone. The time is now 6:37. Weather in Chicago today is clear with a high of 34, low of 21. Phoenix is cloudy with a good chance of rain today. The high is 52, low of 43. No scores to report in basketball. Blackhawks beat the Red Wings last night 5-4, and the Coyotes were off. In traffic, there was an accident on the Eisenhower going east before 25th Avenue. Expect up to 20-minute delays. And that's all. Back to you.
So, Jay-Z, how'd you like that traffic you were in last week?
It was terrible.
Yeah, that was the shootings and everything?
Yeah, and I told you I got a red light ticket.
Now, is Lou the kind of guy that can fix it?
Maybe, but he practices in Denver, so probably not.
You should be able, the defense should be, you shouldn't have been at the red light. You were supposed to be on the expressway. Send that in. Say, if it wasn't for it being closed, that wouldn't have been an unusual neighborhood. Somebody was behind me.
Did that really work?
Why not?
I don't know. I don't know how this works.
Well, you send in something.
Okay.
Since somebody was right on your tail because everybody was off the expressway, they were all crazy, thought the guy was going to run into you. Why not?
Okay, I'll try it.
Just try something. What do you think, Lou? If you need an attorney?
You're better off. You're better off trying to get these guys to admit or come to the place where they'll say, yeah, we thought the camera might have been malfunctioning because of the high level of traffic from being forced off the interstate.
Yep.
That's your best bet. I wanted to just move off the rant topic.
Yes.
And get onto something at least sports related that just drove me crazy when I saw it pop up on Twitter earlier this week. And that is the fact that Serena Williams, of all people, Martina Navratilova, of all people, is being attacked because she had the temerity to, there's a word for early in the morning,
yes.
Temerity, to basically say that transgender athletes, and specifically men who surgically and with hormone injections become women or seek to become women should not be allowed to compete in women's competitions in athletics because they're at a disadvantage. The rest of the women are going to be at a disadvantage. It's huge outcry. In fact, she's been removed from some, and I've always get the acronyms wrong, and I never have enough acronyms. There's never enough letters
right.
in whatever it is I'm going to use. But LBTQ whatever organization that said, you know, this is bigotry against transgender people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I was fascinated by that because this is one of those things where, you know, the data is pretty clear. And this goes all the way back to somebody that the chief and I probably remember, although I'm sure Jess doesn't. You remember Rene Richards?
Yeah.
Chief?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The tennis player? So this was a doctor, I believe, a male doctor who decided to undergo at like 45 or maybe even a little bit older, decided to undergo a gender reassignment surgery and really compete on the women's tour as a woman, and it was readily apparent that this was, you know, a real problem, because even though she now identified as a woman and had had undergone the physical and hormone changes to try to get her to that spot, her physiology was that of a male. It was really interesting to see this, and this is sort of an outgrowth of what happened when John McEnroe, somebody said, well, how good would Serena Williams be? Where would Serena Williams rank if she was playing on the men's tour? And McEnroe said, oh, I don't know, somewhere around 600 or so. And you know, all hell broke loose, and people were screaming, you know, he's a sexist pig and everything else. But there was a really interesting numbers run on one of the social media platforms where somebody said, look, this is not really open to debate. If you look at U.S. track and field numbers, the fastest woman in the world runs 100 meters at this rate, and there are probably between 2,000 and 2,500 males in the United States alone that could beat her, some of them as young as 13 and 14. The physiological differences in terms of physical performance between men and women, especially at the elite levels, are staggering, and you know, it's genetics, it's the way we've evolved, and changing that, especially if you've gone through puberty, where those hormonal changes really work to the male's advantage. If you've gone through puberty, reassigning gender after puberty doesn't eliminate those genetic advantages. And you know, men who do this are going to be coming into competition with women with the basic advantages of being male.
When did
eliminated by the gender reassignment process?
We actually dug up the definition of hubris last week. Well, isn't it the ultimate hubris to try and think that the big guy upstairs was wrong in actually having men and women? That somehow or another he was wrong, that there really is no difference? I think there is a difference. I think the difference is something to be rejoiced.
I don't understand why this has become such a debate. I mean, but apparently it is now a huge issue as to how, you know, you identify people and you and I referring to Bruce Jenner as Bruce Jenner or Caitlyn/Bruce Jenner. Is apparently a significant insult, and it's even got a term. I believe it's called dead naming. It's this weird, this weird kind of sort of refusal to acknowledge and actually an attempt to erase the knowledge that somebody was once another gender.
Lou, we're at the point where if see a bunch of kids, male, out there playing tackle football in the snow, you're going to drug them.
I think there's something to that. I mean, I will tell you this. Jess is much closer to this, because this is something that boiled up out of academia and has made its way into mainstream social media for sure. I understand now that airlines are starting to basically say you there's at least one airline that's done this, and Jess can find this story, where, you know, you have to identify yourself as male or female for purposes of security. They're backing away from that,
right,
and saying, yeah, you don't have to identify as male or female. You can identify as other, or prefer not to state. And it just is sort of a general move towards, as you noted, this idea that we don't have to pay attention to, you know, to what we're,
well,
to what
we're doing. Are we going to get to the, we're not going to get to the point where two women can make a baby, or a guy can make a baby. I mean, there's a few differences here that aren't going away, I'm thinking.
There is a significant move on the part of this group of folks who identify, or who, for whom this is an issue, to basically remove gender as something that's biological and get it into the state. It's just a state of mind.
There's people in California, I think, that want on a birth certificate that the person, you don't put on a birth certificate till you're like 12 or 15 till you choose what gender you are.
Yeah, I mean, to my mind, again, growing up the way I did, this is not progress. This is actually facilitation of mental illness.
This is hubris.
But, well, yeah, or whatever you want to, however you want to characterize it. Gender dysphoria, whatever the technical term is, but it's suddenly become a huge deal. And as I said, it's real big on college campuses. It's a huge issue. I don't know how it's creeping out into the mainstream, you know, workforce, or you know, mainstream life, but it's fascinating to me. This is a relatively tiny percentage of the population that has to deal with this situation, but yet is seeking to conform.
Oh, yeah.
the rest of the culture to its worldview.
All that thought, Lord, I also want to ask you about Colin Kaepernick. SP futures down 4, NASDAQ futures down 6. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we are also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters. the daily news, our daily stock and futures trading recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a 1 month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Holly. He's Mr. Lou Michaels, Jay-Z on the board. S&P futures down 375. NASDAQ futures down 6.25. Real quick question, economic question, Lou. Then I want to talk a little bit about Colin Kaepernick. I was just reading here about this Bullard guy, that he really needs inflation to take an uptick before he wants to put any more interest rate hikes. And how do you as a citizen... when you talk to about your government, and I'm not so sure it's mine anymore, but I guess it is. I'm here. I'm looking here on page, whatever. I'm looking at Ford 2019 F-150. difference between a 2019 and 2018 base trim level prices. Now these are base trim levels. XL up 450, XLT up 860, a limited 5775, Raptor extended cab and crew cab 2180. Lariat up 685, okay? Now, some that are in there, and I'll be fair, which I'm not supposed to be. I'll be fair. Now, if I was left or right, I would never give the whole story. There's a shot, Lou. I'm sure somewhere in there, there's an extra something to this thing, a backup camera or something that the ones last year didn't have, so that's, you know, $250-$300. So probably this number gets brought down a little bit when you look at some of the quality numbers. Matter of fact, well, now I go over to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, Lou, now, which you should never do as a citizen, and I look at the new vehicle line from last year to this year, and I see increase in price zero. Interesting. I also look at medical care commodities down 0.3%. Is there anything in medical care that was down last year, Lou? Could there possibly be? Anyway, so I mean, how when you talk about inflation numbers, how do you look at this garbage that you're being given by these people and you say those are the numbers, or do you open the door of the limousine and take a smell? Well, I mean, how do these people, how do you quote stuff you know is wrong? I just can't. I had to say that. Sorry.
Okay. Well, the short answer is, before we talk about Kaepernick, because I do want to talk about him, the short answer is that you, in this kind of a business, you look around, you find a number, and you say, okay, that's my number. Somebody else said, yeah. So I'm just quoting them. So if you want to criticize me, don't yell at me like this, because I'm just quoting the number.
Yeah.
Find some data point. I mean, that happens, you know, everywhere. And it goes to a point that I would make, and I don't want to track off too far. There's a real good article about the death of expertise. And why we are criticizing, why experts are being criticized so much. And this is part of it. The fact that open system, analysis of open systems like this is inherently suspect. But we treat these numbers, and our leadership treats these numbers as if they are, you know, viable things, and they look around for whatever number they can find to justify what they're doing, and then they seize on it and throw it out there. So that's how that works.
Remember Professor Goodhart, Lou?
Right.
The guy from Sweden. Jay-Z, you weren't here then, but we had Professor Goodhart. Jay-Z, you should get him back as the assistant producer, and you'd trump Maddie. Or is it when an index or becomes a target, it ceases to have any value as an index?
Yes, correct.
Which is, I'll start this Kaepernick thing by one thing, Lou. Even though the NFL likes to tell everybody that they have an antitrust exemption, they really don't, or at least not on the same level as baseball. They have an exemption that allows them to market collectively, correct? Isn't it when the two leagues got together?
They have a non-statutory labor exemption that allows them to combine the individual clubs to combine for purposes of promoting labor and labor interests.
I thought it was marketing. Originally, it was
why their collective bargaining agreement is so big.
Originally, it was allowed them to market together when the AFL and the NFL got together. Correct.
The non-statutory labor exemption has always been out there as an exemption on how they do business. The other exemption that you're talking about, as I understood it, dealt with their ability to combine for television revenue.
Right.
They've dealt with that by including all that in the collective bargaining agreement with the union. So that captures that kind of an arrangement under the non-statutory labor exception.
All right. So here's my question. Leads me to my question, Barrister Judge. If individual, and I've been on this rant for the last couple of weeks. By the way, I have an ally. One of the listeners sent one of the contributors. Senator from Maine all of a sudden wrote some big document and dropped it on Congress about why exactly these insurance companies are acting like they have an antitrust exemption when they don't, or they shouldn't have, or they've gone too far with what they do have, or something. And he thinks that we need to get rid of that, which, God, how long have I been saying that? 20 years?
Yeah.
Anyway, but now my question is, if in fact the owners colluded to not give Colin Kaepernick a job, all right, and that to me, from my reading of the antitrust, and I know you have a little different view, is essentially a criminal offense. How does the league send the guy some money and all of a sudden all the owners are off the hook? I mean, when the owners... The league is not involved, essentially, in individual people, teams bidding for people. That part is supposed to still be somewhat free, correct? How does the league all of a sudden be able to take it under... How do they become the regulator of the owners, pay off some money, and have it all be good, is my question. Now, if he's not going to testify and he's not going to go any further with it, I get it practically. But legally, how does that work out?
Well, you've got to find the prosecution for a criminal statute that gets brought by the state. So the league can't affect the ability of a criminal prosecutor at a state or federal level to undertake an investigation if they thought something criminal was going on, to undertake an investigation and then charge people if they decided that there was enough evidence that a crime had been committed. The league couldn't stop that.
Well, you're never going to get this administration, I won't say why, you're never going to get this administration to chase down a bunch of racist white guys. I mean, that's not going to happen.
Well, it's not. The Obama administration had no interest in this.
Right.
This all arose. I mean, the Tim Tebow thing. I mean, you had just as much evidence of collusion in Tim Tebow as you did for Colin Kaepernick. It's just that Tebow was a lightning rod in a different direction.
Why? I mean, why would you say that? I mean, a lot of people gave him a chance to play, and he wasn't good enough.
He was effectively blackballed. He did something. He and Kaepernick were very similar in a lot of ways. Tebow was effectively blackballed because of the impact of his open profession of his Christian faith.
Okay.
And you know, I mean, he was given some tryouts and stuff like that. But the bottom line was that the baggage that Tebow brought with him as a openly practicing Christian was too much, much like the baggage that Kaepernick was bringing with him with his flag or his national anthem protest.
Right. Okay.
And so if a criminal prosecutor wanted to take that on, she could undertake an investigation and try to run it down, and the NFL settlement of the loss of the arbitration claim would be meaningless.
We like the Romans taking on the gladiator fights. Talk about opiate of the people. Well, Lou, thank you very much, buddy. Talk to you next week. Good stuff as usual. Go skiing. Have a good time. SP Futures down 4. NASA Futures down 6. Be right back, Mr. Farihamzi.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with their choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTIsecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTIsecurities.com.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTIsecurities.com or feel free to email me at john@PTIsecurities.com. That's john@PTIsecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Oshie. Jay-Z on the board. S&P Futures down 450. NASDAQ Futures down 725. Jay-Z, I know you're not a huge basketball fan, but did you see this? I was actually going to watch the Duke-North Carolina game. I said we should ask Lou about it. I bet he watched it. The number one player in the country, evidently a generational player, according to what everybody says, is Zion Williamson. I have not really watched him, but Kevin, we'll talk to Kevin about it tomorrow. I don't know if you saw this. He went to stop on the floor. His Nike made shoes blew out on the side, and he twisted his knee and went sprawling and was taken from the game. And
oh,
I don't, yeah, I think the Nike's down $1.50 this morning, and anybody who's Nike is not happy about this one. And Duke ended up getting clobbered in the game. Fari, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, sir?
I'm doing all right.
A couple of minutes late. That's all.
Hope you don't have any Nike stack.
I'm sorry?
Hope you don't have any Nike stack.
I can't hear you.
I said, I hope you don't have any Nike stack.
Nike's back.
Nike, as in the shoes?
Yeah, I know Nike's, yes.
This guy from Duke blew out. He blew out of his shoe and hurt his knee?
No, I was not running. I had Captain Tico for a walk. I had to take him for a walk. So, no running. Not this early in the morning. Not very smart anyway.
No, the best basketball player on the planet in college for the last few years, what everybody says, a couple of minutes into the Duke-North Carolina game last night, made a stop. His shoes came apart, and he twisted his knee.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, Murray.
So then Duke
that's
got clobbered.
That's Murray Bowman.
Yeah, so Duke is not, let's just say Nike's down $1.50 this morning. It's all everybody's talking about. Was it the shoes?
I gotcha. No. Actually, I called him a little bit early, talked to Jay-Z, said, listen, I'm running a few minutes late. I'll be there when I get there. Remember Patton at Kasserine Pass?
Yeah.
He says, I have my schedule, they have theirs.
So
we're always on Tyree's time. I'm never late.
Yes. So,
what's going on?
I was going to ask you, I've not seen anything quite like this since Christmas Eve. And now, I've been quoting Fed's Bullard all morning about how the inflation is nowhere, which is BS, and how we need a rate cut. We're way too high. No more balance sheet reduction. We're going to stick with $4.5 trillion for the next five lifetimes, and we're going to be buying mortgages 10 years from now, even if the economy's good.
Yes.
We've had the first 3 months of the year. We're already what? How many $100 billion in the hole? This is brutal.
That's probably the reason. Probably they don't want to. What do you call it? offload them anyway, right?
Yeah, you
remember they have to report at the end of the day. I mean, not the end of the day, but.
The rallies you can't fade this rally. I mean, maybe now it's getting. I've been putting a lot of money to work lately, Fari. And 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I put some money to work, and I was pretty darn bullish, and so were you, I think. And I was getting people in the QQQs. Literally, I got them in at 161, 162, Fari. And I'm thinking, I'm bullish here because I was listening to you and a bunch of other people, and it just seemed like we had more to move to the upside, especially with the China thing looking like we at least had a chance. And so I kept calls and puts, you know, way away from the strike that were the price, because I always do some protection. And you know, yesterday I put a lot more money to work. I think I'm paying 172. Far, I think I bought the 172 puts and I sold the 175 calls. I'm right on the edge. If a thing goes to zero, my people lose $5. That's how tightly I have this buttoned up. I mean, I just don't feel the same as I did 3 weeks ago, up this high.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know if that matches your studies or not. It just doesn't seem to me to be as good a buy as it was back then. More than just the 10 points.
Yeah, we don't see this here as necessarily a buy. As a matter of fact, a couple of short-term indicators, as I mentioned to my update to Time and Digest, that they're giving. You know, we're getting on and off signals. We're getting signals that some are contradicting the other ones. They're still bought or overbought or extremely overbought, okay? But that's what we're seeing. It's just, we don't see anything here saying go and buy this thing. Are you kidding me? Yeah.
Well, the only...
Not yet.
I'll bet, Fari, if you look at again, these numbers are a little quirky, but last month, if you look at the 3 month growth in adjusted M2, it was like it went from 3.5 when they were actually lowering, you know, trying to lower the balance sheet a little bit, to like 4.6, which is a big move. Now, the number yesterday, based on last week, or the end of January, is 6.1. I've never seen, I'll bet you could go back in money supply tables, and I go all the way back to 1940-something. I have to dig through this.
Right.
I'll bet you've never seen in a three-month rolling average us go from 3.5% increase to 6.1, except during a time of a major depression or crash or some kind of thing. And this is supposed to be a great economy, and we've gone into, basically the Fed has gone from neutral to incredibly, to almost panic accommodative in 8 weeks. I mean, and what the hell is going on? I mean, are they that afraid of President Grumpino and all the talking heads that, or what is, I mean, how did that, you know, what is going on here? This is nuts. You know,
I don't get this at all. So, you know, they say trade what you see, not what you think.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You got to stay bullish. Well, you got
to. What the chart is saying is a lot more clear. At least it's more binary, okay, than what all these talking heads have opinions on. I mean, listen, you and I are a type who, at least in my case, I'm sure you too, to some degree, we get over bombarded,
right,
with a lot of news and things to read and suggestions. You know, with X number of people on Twitter and, you know, I don't know, 3,000 on LinkedIn and so on and so forth. It just, not, you know, 24,000 on our email list. It's a nonstop that any given day somebody comes up with something, okay, interesting to read. Oh, gee, let's see what Fed thinks about this, okay? And, since the Time and Digest thing, it's just like, you know, I read this 3 years ago. Does it apply here today? So I get bombarded. One of the rules I've made is not to read much of them. Not because of who they are or who they're not. No. But sometimes it can also, infect your own thinking. Okay? It can pollute. That's the right word. Not infect. Pollute your own thinking. Because if you and I, after all these years, have a little, either we have a system or we don't. The system doesn't mean something mechanical or code, but our way of thinking, our way of applying data to a profitable trade and avoid losing trades, that is called a system. It's embedded in us. It's innate to us, okay? You can easily start polluting that by all these talking heads, all these other different reports, and then come, and also, if something goes wrong, guess what happened? That's your crutch. Or that's my crutch.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't do this. Marco Klonovich, head of JPM Equity, said, Equity Research said, or Quant Equity. Yeah, Quantitative, head of Equity Quantitative Research said, oh, we should be doing this. I think, in the long run, we're doing ourselves a disservice. The more we rely on these crutches, the more mistakes we're going to make, that we're still going to go on our record. It's going to ding our performance, but we can, and we can cry foul and blame somebody else. But, you know, I usually try to just filter as much as I can and ask people very politely, saying, you're polluting my thinking. I appreciate your thoughtfulness, but I don't have any comment, and nor do I have a chance to even read all of it.
Well, I think
there's so much out there. It's crazy.
Well, there is, and that's why I try as best I can to, I mean, you can, at least to say on the trading floor, it's like there's so much information. It's like taking a drink out of a fire hydrant. You can't do it.
Yeah.
You know, you get thrown out in the middle of the street when you stick your head down there, right? The thing that you look at these numbers, and once in a while, people have to react. And when you're a slave of history, you don't want to be a slave to history because it's always different this time. I get that part.
Right.
But you can't be so dumb that you don't understand history. And I think to a certain extent, the market right now is missing one big part of the early 80s history. And I've been saying this since Grumpino got elected.
Right.
We put together this massive tax cut on the upper end, not on the lower end, because all the lower people are pissed off because their return, their returns are less than they expected. But I look at this, the first 3 months of this year, $84 billion in the hole, more than we were last year. So we're pretty much absolutely going to get a $1 trillion deficit this year in essentially good times. right? In a growth economy. So I'm going to guess, because we, not because it's me, because I have, I'm omniscient. Who was the person that could see things, we couldn't know anything about it? The Greek goddess, I'll remember the name. But the, what happened in 1982, Farrar? You weren't here yet. 1981, Ronald Reagan, the original supplies.
I wasn't here yet. Of course I was.
Okay. All right. Remember the original supplies.
I was pointing away on the V2 to give you the freedom you have right now.
I thought you got,
I
here.
I couldn't talk about what I'm working on.
All right. I thought you were here.
So I'll send you an invoice for that.
I thought you were here 35 years ago, not 40. Well, okay.
No. I came here in 71. I went to school
here.
Oh,
wow. All right. Okay.
Well, 78, I was, at the age of 20, I was, computer-aided manufacturing.
I didn't really, division Northrop.
Most of it is classified.
I had you as a young, like 45-year-old or something, or 50. Not, you know, whatever. Anyway,
I'm 61.
All right, well, that's not bad. Still younger.
It's the blondes that keep me young.
I see.
That's your RX.
Ah.
Get yourself a couple of blondes. You'll feel a lot better.
Jay-Z says she's heading out right after the show to dye her hair brunette.
All right.
Anyway, what I'm saying is, the thing I really fear here, people are going to look at these numbers at the end of the year. We're going to get a tax increase. There's no doubt in my mind we're going to get a tax increase. Same thing as we did in 1982.
Yeah.
And it'll be different. It'll be a huge gas tax. It'll be something that it affects only, you know, it'll be very regressive. But the fact
is, we're up
in the market. We've damn near doubled because of a tax decrease, right?
Have you looked at the fact that the rate of the increase of the debt clock, if you watch that debt clock, isn't it running a little bit faster?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's a little bit running faster. I mean, the numbers are moving a little bit faster, but you got to pay attention, and you have to be looked at it for a long time.
So, over
$22 trillion now.
So why wouldn't I, since that's what I do for a living, is manage people's money and try and protect it for them, why wouldn't I be being very concerned that I'm protected going forward? Because these guys, what if somebody lobbed the word out tax increase here? Right, what does that do to the market, for God's sake? Look what it's doing to Chicago and Illinois when all we do is raise the taxes. People here are gagging. I mean, absolutely gagging. You can't figure out, all of a sudden there's gonna be a bill in your garbage can next week, for God's sake. I mean, wherever you turn, they're finding a way to stick you in the behind with a bill. And you know what? Federal government is going to be the same way soon. How can they not?
Yeah, one day.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be
one day. Hopefully, not too soon. We're all going to wake up.
What do they always do though?
I don't have a kid.
They'll wake up and they'll say, "Carl was on last week. They're going to increase the gas tax, increase the Medicare tax, and increase Social Security tax."
No. I'm not talking about these are marginal stuff. I'm talking about the solution to $22 trillion. This stuff is small. This one moved the needle.
Farrar, you should know this. Your payroll taxes are damn near the same as the income taxes.
No, I realize that, but look at our deficits.
Well, what I'm saying is they're gonna.
Our deficits are huge.
Right, but what's gonna be? You're gonna end up happening.
And if the rates go up any just tad up. You see what happens in interest expense.
But my point is you're going to find, you know what they're happiest about? Totally grumpy. Tariff revenue just went through $60 billion. He's happy as a clam with this number, especially because his people. I was with a bunch of Trumpkins this weekend.
Yes.
I could not even. I'm not going to. Whatever. You're not going to change anybody's mind. But
right.
I keep asking about the tariff. Do you realize if you're not paying $60 billion in tariff, and your guy is telling you the Chinese are paying it, and you're really paying it. Does that bother you at all? Why should it bother me? I don't pay any tariffs.
Who was it? It was somebody. I think it was from Ohio. Was talking on TV. He said, "Listen, in my district, one of the representatives. I think it was Ohio. I'm not sure." He said, "Look, we use a lot of steel. We have several steel manufacturers, and we have tons and tons of manufacturers who use steel. They don't make steel. They use it. Net balance, we're in a hole."
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
If you go through the rust belt, that's what's happening. You have a few smelters coming back on. You get a few people coming back to jobs, and that's a really good photo op. But look at all the manufacturing base that we're trying to raise that are the steel and aluminum are part of the inputs. Do you know how much we're going to pay extra for these aircrafts?
Oh, yeah.
You know how much? I mean, listen, forget the stealth. Other than the stealth, which has the skins are graphite and plus other stuff. But the inside, still, you need to have aluminum, you need to have steel, you need to have titanium. You raise the prices on those, especially these are the what happens when you put the tariff on? The local manufacturers raise their prices too.
Well, I'm going to say,
of course.
I'm going to say, fire.
But the import costs, right? I mean, the market goes to equilibrium instantly. So, we build a defense. Look how much more we're going to pay for that in the building. So,
well, people.
Tariffs have never worked. Tariffs always lead to problems. Tariffs create lazy fat bums.
If
we need to be lean and mean, like Silicon Valley.
If your people don't even realize that
my people.
If you're Trump and your
would
people,
would you define that police?
I mean, if Trump's people don't even realize
tall blondes down here in Florida, is that what you mean?
If they don't
skinny stuff walking around the beach.
If they don't even realize they're paying tariffs, then he'll work that one forever.
These don't at all. These blondes down here, they have no clue.
Anyway.
You know why? Because they're never reaching their pocket. Somebody else, they come out of a Lambo, and somebody is paying the bills.
Fire, here's what's going to happen, buddy. You're seeing your income tax.
I'm just kidding with you, but I've got you the right spot today. Go ahead.
How much income tax revenue, how much is the federal government income tax per taxpayer?
How much of a what?
How much income tax does the government get per taxpayer?
I have no idea. That's a good question.
I have the answer. 13,000.
Go ahead. I'm sure you do.
13,953.
That's it?
Yep. How much payroll tax do they get per worker?
Probably same, if not a little bit higher.
No. Actually, it's 7,600. I'm going to say we're going to get in the next year and a half, we're going to get a tax increase, and we're going to raise all that stuff, especially if you put gas tax in there. Which they probably wouldn't, because that's an excise tax. We're going to nudge this payroll tax up to about $10,000 per worker. We're not going to touch the income tax.
That's going to nick the non-farm payroll numbers.
Well, sure will.
Yeah,
but I'm saying we're going to raise that just like we did in '82.
Oh, jeez.
So we're going to end up with this massive drop on the upper end, and the bottom end is going to get a massive increase.
So we keep on doing that.
Yeah,
we keep on doing that because the upper end is the one who's writing the checks for elections.
Sure.
Listen, we need to revamp elections. Elections should be free and short. Use airwaves, upset that, and get rid of the lobbyists. I gave my plan to you in person when you used to interview me in at your offices.
Now,
remember? In Chicago.
Now we're saying,
give me 2 weeks, I clean up everything. But I want Uber powers for 2 weeks, and then I'll give you back everything back. I'll give you the Congress back, everything back to you. Boom. But we got to reduce a bunch of things. The Constitution as written, no good. That was good back then. Some things have to be changed.
I'm gonna lob out.
Lobbies have to go away. Lobbies have to be illegal. I know real estate in Washington, D.C. and Georgetown will take a hit. I don't give a F. They have to take a hit. Listen, this is the only real estate that didn't take a hit in 2008.
Well,
there's something wrong with that picture.
I'm going to say, Fari, that the when you say things wrong with the Constitution, it obviously is a living document. The only thing I'm going to say that the founding fathers.
Do you think the Second Amendment still applies?
I'm going to say that.
That was for militia.
I know. I'm saying the biggest flaw is that the founding fathers could not have anticipated the modern corporation, essentially a person who never dies.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a massive difference.
The other thing is, I want Justice Department out. I mean, judiciary has to be absolutely out. I want three separate powers. Executive, legislative, and judiciary. Judiciary, I don't want judiciary to report to the White House. Has to be out completely. Boom.
Well,
this is not the way to run. This is too much overlap. I don't want Vice President to cast a vote for the Senate. I want stuff away. Clean. Yeah.
I don't disagree, but the founding fathers probably thought in their mind, and in that thing, I probably can't even imagine what it was like in 17. When you have
still
to
in a war zone, senor.
Yeah, but you have to figure, Fry, that if you sent, what is it? There's how many representatives are there? 485.
435, I thought.
435. It was a 3 and 8. What's the difference? 435, and then you got 100 senators. You would think when you got to get there by horseback or stagecoach,
yeah,
that 535 people, you could never find somebody, even guys as quick like a bunny like you and me, it'd be pretty hard for somebody in South Carolina to fix the election up in Vermont or New Hampshire or someplace. It would be real tough to do. I mean, it'd get control out of all those people, because guess what? People didn't live very long back then. You know, if you and I, we'd have to buy a real lot of drinks in a 6-year period to get everybody on the hook with us. Mm-hmm. You'd need an awful lot of money coming out of South Carolina or Georgia or someplace to pay off every one of the other guys. We'd have to really be Daddy Warbucks. Yet, mm-hmm, corporations absolutely can. They're big enough to put a check in everybody's pocket, and they never die. The same relentless Goldman Sachs.
I don't want corporations in politics either. Listen, we got to give them free airwaves, shorter campaign time. I don't care the media companies take. We've got to clean the system.
You know,
I need Clorox here.
You know the deal, okay? You know,
not soap, Clorox.
Before you complain about the media companies.
Yeah. They all fit into
this. No, stop for a second.
They all, it's just a whole gyration. You know, they're all complicit in the mess we're in, and then allow people, some dark players like GRU and so forth, come in there and steal the election and put a bunch of Trumpkins in charge. This is a legitimate.
Do you know what this is?
I'm beginning to think he may be a Russian asset.
Do you?
So, okay. I know that's a fringe thinking, but just from his behavior, I'm having issues.
Are you going to learn something this morning?
I know that he didn't have the popular vote. I almost get out of Ross Electoral College.
I know you don't want to let
him. That was then. We need to clean everything.
Now we have a, I don't want to let the facts get away of a good story here, Fari, but you know what the actual deal these guys get from the media is? These guys get from the media. Now, Stocks and Jacks has been on the air before, and it appears we might be on a really nice station sometime pretty soon. If we were, sorry.
No, but I'm talking about
stop for a second.
TV, you know, the advertisement. The
media.
Big media. Not. I'm talking about Madison Avenue machines. Not talking about, you know, what we do.
Sorry, media is media. The rule is we would have
I'm
to...
I'm losing you on the connection.
No,
I'm sorry.
We would have to... file, because we've done this before. We have to file a report when Stocks and Jacks comes on the air. Actually, the station does.
Right.
And we have to say what is the minimum amount we've charged anybody for advertisement in the last year. So that's why you have your media. If you were to say, don't take this the wrong way, Jay-Z, but if Jay-Z's got a show from 1 to 2 in the morning and it's about, you know, the business sorority at DePaul or something, which actually probably be a pretty good show, and they charge, you know, they'd be happy to sell a spot for $20, okay? Well, you can't do that if you have a half a brain. You can't do that. You have to, what you do is you say, no, buy a spot on Stocks and Jacks for $150 and we'll camp you two spots on Jay-Z's show, because you never want to cut rate. Because the politicians get to command your station at the minimum rate you charged in the last year to anybody. So if you charge Joe's cigar store because you like Joe $20, don't do that. Give him, make him pay $150 on the Fari show in the prime time and give him three spots for free somewhere else is part of the deal. Because the last thing you want is every politician jamming up your airways for $20 a spot.
Yeah, cool.
Because they get to come out at the cheapest number, and it has to be registered.
Yeah.
So they get a deal.
One of the things that really bothers me about the media is like the last couple of weeks of the election time.
Oh, God.
You can't get anything else. I mean, the phone calls and the automated phone calls and every channel. You can't even get the weather. You're trying to figure out what the weather is. Of course, we have Google. I mean, we have Alexa now. We're trying to get weather and see a Doppler radar. No, again. Well, another guy comes on the other side. This time was DeSantis. That one was Gillum. Whatever.
See, now
keeps on going. Same thing. Back and forth.
Well,
you can have it memorized by them. You keep on playing it.
You fled Chicago.
I mean, we just got to shorten this period.
You fled Chicago.
I have a life.
Right.
Listen. We just finished one election. They're starting another one.
Sorry.
It's like a machine.
You fled Chicago. Chicago's election is in a couple of weeks. There's four people running for everybody alderman spot. Everybody is in play. It's like the Democratic Party. There's 15 people running for mayor. Every alderman's got 2 to 4 people running for it. Nobody's unopposed anymore. It's wild here.
Yeah.
I mean, they're knocking on your door. I mean, the actual candidate's knocking on your door. I don't see they like it. SP Futures down 450, NASDAQ Futures down 7.25.
We'll talk to you next week.
Sorry, take care of yourself, buddy. What did I just say? SP Futures down 450. Be right back. Stocks and Jacks, Mr. David Adelman.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs. Interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous. No return on cash balances. May have some invested a little too much for comfort. Some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. It's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Ausch. She's Jay-Z. Jessica Zalewski on the phone. Doing a good job over there. SP Futures down 775. Make that 8. NASDAQ Futures down 17. Here's the number that comes out. These things are not tradable. I don't usually quote them that much. Every Fed comes out with an estimate of manufacturing activity in their area, and they've been relatively bullish. But the Philly Fed just came out with a expected number of plus 14, and it came out minus 4.1. Wow, who are these expectators? They're a little wrong on this one. Around the world, we've got, well, the interesting story of the morning. In the Dow is Nike, ticker symbol NKE. Down $1.43 is Zion Williamson's shoe blew up, and he hurt his knee last night in the game, and somewhat of a routine move. So Nike shareholders are not liking that. Doesn't look like there's a lot of structural damage. I'm no doctor, so I don't think the guy's hurt too bad. I hope not. But he's a generational player, according to everybody. Duke freshman. Anyway, we've got over in Europe, we've got the DAX up 26.2%. FTSE down 67. That's almost a full percent. CAC around down 14 cents. So they're flat. So that's an odd mix over in Europe today. Over in Asia, we've got Nikkei up 32, 0.1%. Shanghai down 9.3%. Hang Seng up 115.4. So they're mixed as well. Oil down 2 cents. Brent down 9. So not much happening there. The spread is now, the spread has come in quite a bit the last couple of days. It's $9.85. Was 10.50 earlier in the week. Natural gas up 4 cents, 268. RBOB, here's the one that everybody should be concerned about. $1.59. It was $1.35. I'm gonna say middle of January. So we're up 25 cents, and as oil prices have moved up here. So hope you filled up last weekend. Gold down 940. The gold futures, and they got silver down 26 cents. Jay-Z, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
Thanks, Chief. Good morning, everyone. The time's now 7:36. Weather in Chicago today is clear with a high of 34, low of 21. Phoenix is cloudy. Looks like some rain later today. High of 52, low of 43. In hockey, the Blackhawks beat the Red Wings 5-4. The Coyotes were off. And to my mistake, I did not report the college basketball reports last time, so I apologize to our listeners. But in college basketball, San Diego State beat Nevada 65-57. Florida beat LSU 82-77. Georgetown beat Villanova 85-73. And Syracuse beat Louisville 69-49. No accidents to report. Back to you.
And how did we not get a comment from Lou on Duke?
I don't know. His team.
And they got hammered after this guy got hurt. I say this guy's quite the player. David, how are you?
I'm fine.
What do you make of this?
By the way, I'm not sure if you're looking at, you know, which market, but unleaded RBOB futures April is 176.40. I think you said 155.
Let me see which one I'm.
It's up 50 cents.
Let me see which one I'm looking at.
April is 176.40. May is 177.83. March is still on the board. That one's only 160.02. But
yeah, I mean, these guys are looking at March.
Next months are way, way, way premium.
Yeah, these guys. I'm looking at the March.
Okay, March is almost done because it goes off the, you know, in a week and a half.
Put a fork in the March is what you're telling me.
Yeah, the crude goes off sooner. The CLH is already off the board.
All right, I'm just using what they got on CNBC, right?
Yeah, I'd watch April and May now.
I will do that. So what do you make of this? We were talking with Lou earlier, and he was somewhat happy with the economic growth we're having. Can't believe we're blowing through $22 trillion. And we're still borrowing this kind of money, and the deficit's going up. I don't see how we don't have a tax increase, David. I honestly don't. I mean, I hope I'm wrong. I mean, I know I'm early, but
well, especially with the divided Congress and that kind of thing, and you know, Democrats out for Trump's scalp, you know, and 20 candidates or more, and pushing for wealth tax. I mean, I saw Bernie Sanders got an injection of $6 million from a single source for his campaign, and then, you know, another $6 million from, you know, small contributions. So, you know, they're off and running already. And, you know, they're all calling for wealth tax, and that, I should say all. The majority of Democrats who have, you know, talked about policy are, you know, talking about wealth tax and trying to go back to inheritance tax and that kind of thing. Or lower the level of, you know, inheritance tax that are immune from federal taxes. So, and I don't know that that's going to cure $22 trillion. I'm not, you know, a treasurer or whatever, but I think more than anything they really need to stop spending, but that's just one man's opinion.
Well, I would sort of agree with that. Matter of fact, not totally, but I would do one thing for sure, and I wouldn't call it a wealth tax, but why do we resist using any sort of common sense sometimes, David? I mean, I would say, well, just going back to Dan Rostenkowski's times, when you talk about capital gains, you and I and the listeners have to pay them. Okay, if you get to the point where you can give something, an asset, to your children, somehow that is never paid. They can use the basis the day you croak. So if you bought IBM at $20 and you croak and it's one, where is it? We're 138, it now becomes 138 for your kid, which is sort of insane. Yet why don't we index capital gains as well? I mean, I don't get that. I mean, these are things that make absolutely. I think the tax code needs
hey,
to be
as,
fair.
As my accountant said, you know, and he's got a photographic memory, and he gave seminars for hours on all the tax changes just for the most recent year. But he said, and I admired him for his incredible wealth of information. And he said, look, the tax code's 21,000 pages. Nobody, including the people who wrote it, know every single page.
Well, what I'm saying, there are some things that have zero common sense. One is you not being able to write off losses, okay, more than $3,000 a year. That makes no sense. And if you look at capital gains, and there have been times, not one of them, well, there's more, you and I think there's more of it than the Fed does, but there have been times when you could have bought a building for $80,000, and in 5 years your CPI is doubled. If you sell that for $160,000, you didn't make any money, right? So why should you pay capital gains tax? Now, the same token, if you buy something for $80,000 and a year from now you sell it for $160,000 and the CPI is zero, why should you get a break? You made $80,000, right? I mean,
right.
I don't get it. But I also don't get the part about the assets one generation or another get a stepped up basis. Why does your kid get the benefit of that $90 and nobody ever has to pay for it? Now, if you index it, it won't be $90. It'll be, you know, $30 or $50 or something. But still, if we made everything quote fair, and I honestly believe that everybody should pay the same amount. Corporations should pay the same as people. Now, you shouldn't double tax dividends. So a corporation, if the rate for you and me is 35, a corporation should pay 35. If they pay out a dividend, they should get 20% back. And then you should pay the 20%. So get you back up to 35.
I said it many times, you ought to run for office.
Oh, God, what office? But how many people would be in the...
How about Secretary of the Treasury?
Well, yeah, I don't know if you don't run for that one, but... But I mean, but people.
I guess you got to be appointed to that.
Well, the thing of it is, you and I come from the side of the. It's like a line in the field. You and I come from the line of the field where things have never been fair for us. So we just want
right,
to.
And I think it's a fine line because there's a. Who knows what quote unquote fair means, but there's also the matter of redistribution. I mean, I tend to agree. Maybe I have a slight variation of, you know, whether corporations should pay the same as individuals just because of, you know, presumably supplying jobs and hopefully fair wages and blah, blah, blah. But so I'm not sure I totally agree with that, but I'm on that side. But it's also, in my opinion, not the government's job to, you know, play Robin Hood and redistribute wealth. There ought to be something, real indexing of brackets, real control of write-offs, you know, and other things to examine where, you know, individuals of all income brackets ought to pay their fair share without saying, okay, well, you pay 10, you pay nothing, you pay 35, and oh, by the way, you folks, you pay 70, even though you've done, You've employed, you know, 10,000 people in your workforce and raised wages, you know, the last 3 years and given charitable contributions or whatever. You know, let's take some of those loopholes away, but let's make it fair. Just because, you know, in 1960, there was a 70% tax bracket and a value added, you know, that doesn't mean necessarily that that's true today.
Well, I would agree, except when you talk about fairness, again, it comes down to when you say the government should not be in a part of redistributing wealth, but they are.
Right. No, I get it.
No, it's always been a stickler for me. No, but I'm saying they need to be involved in redistributing wealth because they're the ones that have decided who gets the wealth in a lot of ways.
No, that I agree with. I agree with that. But, you know, to me, if I'm going to tell you what you ought to pay out of your income, and then I'm going to take your money and allocate it to programs, whether it's infrastructure or defense or, you know, the social well-being, then I have to make sure that when I buy a toilet seat for the Pentagon, that toilet seat isn't going to cost $10,000. Until I clean up my own backyard and the waste and whatever, I should not have the ability to say who's in the 70% bracket and that's going to cure our $22 trillion deficit. I shouldn't have that power.
Well, first of all, the people who say that, they don't know the math. I mean, the younger people, they don't know the math.
Right. No, I agree.
And a lot of the old people know the math and they like it coming to them. So they understand the math, I know everybody criticizes the hell out of me, and they probably should because of my continual reference to railroads. But the reason why I do, David, is I'm a pretty heavy historian of railroads. I mean, I'm not, you know, and I couldn't write a book about it or anything.
Well, you were involved.
But you
knew the operations and the finances and the accounting and everything else.
But if you look at the history of railroads and railroad corporations, every single dirty trick it was ever invented in the finance world, those guys invented. It's like you can't invent another fetish because somebody's done it before. You can't think of a thing somebody did. Like Enron, everything they did, the Union Pacific did. Exact same.
Interesting.
You know, they
had all those off-balance sheet investments.
Absolutely.
You know, hidden names and the like.
You know what they did? Well, they weren't to that. You know what they did is they had the original shareholders. And as they're laying the track down, they're getting paid per mile for the track, and they were getting paid land for the track. Okay, so what they did was they formed another corporation that was actually the track builders. So they gave them all the dough, and the guys with executives at the Union Pacific were much bigger shareholders in this other one that made all the money, and the original Union Pacific went bankrupt. But these guys ended up a bit richer than God because they overpaid for the track to the other place. Bankrupted the one they were, say, 1% owner of, and enriched the one they were 30% owner of.
Interesting.
So, sounds like an Enron. Anyway, but the dirty
you
tricks...
You should write a book itself.
Oh, but the dirty tricks are there. So what I'm saying
called
is...
Enron, nothing new.
Well, right, but so you can't... What the young people today... My new theme, David, this is crazy. I'm not a young kid anymore. My new thing now is every time somebody says something that my initial reaction is... I'll use a Milton Friedman term. The statement has not been rigorously researched. How's that for a way of saying a dumb statement? It's like we're going to tax.
You were very very lucky to have studied under him.
Well, I mean, but it's like when somebody like Bernie Sanders or somebody like that comes out and says, or AOC, we're going to tax the one percenters and we're going to pay off everybody's like student loans, and we're gonna pay off the national debt. And I'm going, or like the dumb people running for mayor. When I say dumb, they say dumb things because that we're gonna put up a casino in downtown Chicago, and we're gonna get rid of the deficit. And I'm going, what the heck? That's gonna be one hell of a casino. Jesus,
yeah, really. How long have we had the lotteries, and what's the state of education from all the supposed inflows that were supposed to happen?
But I would say that if you were to stick AOC in front of us on the show, I bet you'd come in that day. You'd be here if she was here. And I were to say, do you really believe that you should charge 70% to where if you and I, Chief and AOC's hot dog business, or hamburger business, whatever we want to do. If all of a sudden we're a success, we should pay 70% to the government, and if we lose, we should only be able to take off 3,000. I would guess that young lady, even though people think she doesn't think, would say, no, that's a really bad idea. But she would say, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the monopolists at Commonwealth Edison, the three or four insurance companies that are left that are making $20 million a year. That never did any research, never did anything except land that job. 35% isn't enough. Look at what they're stealing from people. And you know what? She's not all wrong there, David. I don't know how you do that like you. I don't want to be God, but they're not. You can't.
Well, it's not only being God though, but I mean, you know, it used to be, you know, the waste, line item vetoes, I'm going to clean up everything. If we cut out the waste, we can probably have 20 or 25%, you know, tax brackets for everybody, you know, except for the very poor and blah, 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 blah. Where is that talk gone? Gone.
It's gone because most of the money.
I mean, you never hear anybody, not even Paul Ryan, the tax maven. I mean, not even he. You know, we're going to cut out waste and we're going to get this deficit down to where it's manageable as a percentage of GDP and whatever. That talk is gone.
David, you have to get, and the more I look at these numbers and the more people come on the show and contribute, and I surely include you into that, I learn from everybody. And I'm developing this idea somehow, some way, we've got to get that number of people that are not working, or whatever they are. I mean, you think some of them are working on eBay. I don't know what they are. But that 92 million people that we somehow are sending a check to, some legit, some not legit. You know, a lot of some are in school. I get that part. That number has to get down to 85 to 80 and be contributing on the positive side instead of taking from the negative side. If we can't do that, my read of the numbers is that the rest of us can't afford it, no matter who you decide to tax and whether the rich and whatever. And the fact that the top guy at Commonwealth Edison is making $90 bazillion and the people down below are making, you know, 1/5,000 of that only makes it worse. Because if you spread it around more, I mean, if the people at the lower...
I agree, but I don't know how you do
it. I don't know how you do it either.
I don't know that that's government's job. Maybe it's shareholders' job, maybe it's board of directors' job. I just can't think that you know, however, 9,000 listed companies and who knows how many, you know, unlisted companies, private companies, small companies, whatever, sole proprietorships or whatever, how is the government just by slapping a tax bracket, especially, you know, on the top 1%, on the top 10%, and say, you know,
I don't think that works.
Bring it down.
But I think in many industries, the government has allowed these places to become less and less competitive, which means they don't hire as many people, and the money just seems to slide up to the top. Look at our industry. I mean, do we think that this industry is better off with five firms delivering, or four or six or whatever it is, delivering all the quotes and the thousands of people who used to do it? I don't think so. Now that the government has decided to let that happen. Do you think that there should be, you know, four insurance companies and Chicago area is going to be five hospitals? I mean, that's a problem. I mean, they're part of that. You can't. Milton Friedman used to say constantly, the only way you could ever have a monopoly or an oligopoly really is with the government's help. I mean, the only way you can have five airlines is because the government makes it hard for you to be the sixth. They make it very hard. I mean, you can't be another railroad, right? I mean, how the hell are you going to do that?
Right.
So, I mean, so yeah, when you essentially have these, if the people at Burlington Northern make 40 times more than the regular people, the executives, than a regular executive, I could tell you right now, David, tell me how much the head of a company makes. I won't say exact opinion. I'll have an educated opinion on whether or not I'm not talking about you and I somehow seeing a couple of young guys or girls that seem to know an awful lot about chemistry and medical stuff and and flipping them, $100,000 to build a lab in their basement, and all of a sudden we go out and get them some other cash, and all of a sudden they got $5 million, and out they pop a cure for whatever it is, baldness, for instance, and all of a sudden we're richer than whatever. I bet that kind of money, I don't think anybody begrudges anybody. Do you? I mean, provided you don't go get a patent and charge.
General, I agree with you. Although some of these crowdfunding things and things coming out of Silicon Valley and the innovation and the stuff Mark Cuban's involved with, or whatever. I don't think the Trump administration is real happy with them.
No.
Regardless of what comes up.
What I'm saying,
they just say, hey, Silicon Valley, there are all these, 20-somethings and 30-somethings coming out with an idea, and people put up, $1 million to fund it or whatever. 3/4 of them go broke. The rest make billions, and we're not happy.
Well, in our industry, with all the crap that happened in 2008, with the exception of Bear Stearns and Lehman, who... nobody liked those two places anyway, right? None of the big guys like them. They're gone. All the other guys got saved. They're still here. I mean, what has to happen for Merrill Lynch to leave? For God's sake.
They were going out without Bank of America.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying we didn't know. But look at what has to happen. Merck and they have become the industry. They are the industry. They don't want your and my and Jay-Z's little upshot place to come up with 5 different cures and stuff. They think they're the industry, not just the company. And you can't let things get to that level. There was no reason for them, they're not to be an Upjohn anymore. They're not to be, Searle. They're all those companies. They were pretty darn big size. They didn't need to be taken over.
I don't disagree with you, but I don't necessarily agree with you either. I mean, you take like the most recent thing with Bristol Myers buying Celgene.
Yeah.
Some of these, Bristol Myers is huge. I mean, maybe they're not Johnson & Johnson or Merck or whatever, but, it's a huge company or whatever. But they weren't very nimble. They didn't, have a tremendous amount of flexibility. Their pipeline was lacking, and they saw a biotech of size like Celgene, really with only one big-time product, but others in the pipeline, and they said, hey, look, for $90 billion, we can buy them, and we'll get the innovation, that we need. It wasn't necessarily that they said we're going to eliminate competition. They were trying to get growth back when they didn't have any.
That's their story.
Well,
right?
it's their balance sheet and their income statement and their quarterly results story as well.
Well, take a look at who's Viagra? Pfizer? I'm not sure.
One's Lilly. I think that's, I forget which.
No, I think Viagra's.
I can't remember.
I don't know which one. So they get this. Now, do you think the current heads of...
I think it is Pfizer.
Yeah, now, do you think the current head of Pfizer gets a 19-year patent when they're supposed to be 17? Somehow they extended it 2 years. How the hell they do that, I have no idea. So they get 19 years.
Men, male need.
Yeah.
So they needed a longer time period.
Yes. So they all of a sudden now they have, and it's not like they only have one product, but they have several. You think the current, now does that give them the right to have to be protected to such a point where they make so much money that for the next 5 centuries they get to buy up everybody else who is promising because they had one product? I mean, what did this the current president of Pfizer? He didn't invent Viagra. He didn't have anything to do with it. He wasn't even there at the time, probably. The guy who invented it probably living on Skid Row. My point is that somewhere along the line, the companies become the industry. And when you do that, you're talking about, 1934 Germany, for God's sake. Four companies in every industry.
And at least conceptually, and to a great degree, I agree with you that if government doesn't cooperate, the Justice Department, antitrust, and the like, you're not going to have these big monsters, getting to where they are. Some of it is not even based on growth. It's just based on power and tax consideration.
Try and start an airline. Well, there's no slots left. Will they all be in use? No, these guys own them. How do they own them? They're not being used. What about the gates at Dulles? They're all spoken for. You can walk by 25 gates at Dulles. They've never been used. Oh, no, guys, they're spoken for. You can't get one. I mean, SP Futures down 550. NASDAQ Futures down 13. David, thank you. Thank you, Jay-Z. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. HomeSource Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.